You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello and welcome. My name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and give you our honest opinion on those experiences. Fucking A, only took 3 weeks.
Nailed it
that time.
Nailed it perfectly.
Fucking got it. All right. So that's a good sign. We're off to a good start here.
I think so.
So we have a very special episode this week. Very similar to what we did when all of our hype was centered on Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
We went back. And we suffered through the original 6 movies. Well, I say, okay, we suffered through the first 3.
Yeah, there you go.
Enjoyed the last 3.
Agreed.
Let me clarify, because we did enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
But as a way to kind of just catch people up, we have a much more daunting task at this point, because we're very excited about... What are we excited about?
We are excited. We are excited this week about Marvel's Civil... No, I fucked it up. All right, so this is obviously going to be an edit. Phone threw me off.
All right, let's fix it. Is it mine?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't mine.
I don't know.
Mine is off, for sureesies. Nope, it's not. But nobody called. There's nothing on my phone. But I did turn off, so what the fuck? Eat shit and die.
Go fuck yourself, phone.
Go fuck yourself,
phone.
All
right, here we go, and... So this week, we're very excited about...
Shit!
He's so bad, I love it.
Hold on, I'm going to chug this real quick.
Okay, yeah, let's get on the level.
I think, all right.
Let's both.
I'm sorry, hey, guys. I'm sorry.
To Marvel.
Cheers.
Oh, god damn.
It's hard to chug.
Oh. All right, you talk, I'll refill.
We like Max with the fire trucks. Is And then Captain America.
So yeah, we are talking about...
Captain America Civil War.
Which comes out in about 5 days.
Whenever this comes out, it'll be about 5 days.
Well, I thought it comes out this Thursday.
It comes out next Thursday.
Oh, so we have a full... We have two weeks,
yeah.
Oh, okay. That's even better. Well, hooray!
Yeah, we got some time.
Okay, so that's coming out in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that one, before it, there are 11 movies in the MCU universe. How many? I wrote down... I counted 11 here.
I thought this was the 14th, but...
What else is there?
I thought there were 6 and 7, and then this is the 14th. Yeah, that's my math was right. So we have Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man. I've got 12.
Oh, okay.
Are we missing fucking something?
No.
No, that's it.
I mean, really, we weren't missing anything.
So 12. So this is going to be the 13th.
Okay,
then.
So this will be
this
the 13th.
This is the 13th.
Okay.
Okay, so that's where I got my
So neither
crossed.
Of us can count, but the average is the right number. Because I thought 11,
that's true.
You thought 13.
Yeah. I mean, just perfect.
Yeah, right there it is.
You got your peanut butter and my chocolate.
That's why we're a team, dog. This is it. So, the whole purpose
like
of this
Simon
episode,
and Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel is...
Like Hall and Oates.
Oh, wait, no.
It's Hall and Oates.
Yeah. God, I fucked that up. God.
That's the reference.
I'm going to chug this now. Keep talking.
I mean, that's drunk cast. At this point, it's just a drunk cast. So, with these 12 movies before, that is twice as many as the Star Wars movies. So,
yeah.
We're going to do something similar, but probably
not
much more abbreviated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have not watched a lot of these recently.
Mm-hmm.
I think you watched them more recently than I did.
I've seen all of these at least at the very latest within the year.
Yeah. When did you... Now, again, for people that haven't listened to every episode, at one point, you watched every Marvel movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these were included in that?
These were all included with it, except for Ant-Man. Ant-Man had not came out yet.
Okay, so that was the last
and
one.
And it ended with me reviewing Age of Ultron.
Yeah, because it was the lead up to
it was
Age
the
of
lead
Ultron.
Up to Age of Ultron.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember now.
And aside from Age of Ultron and Ant-Man, there are I think
it was
I had
like
it at
40 something.
40, yeah.
Yeah.
40 total Marvel movies, including Big Hero 6, Swamp
Swamp Thing.
Is it? No, it's not Swamp Thing.
That's a Marvel.
It's the Man Swamp. Thing, or it's Man Thing.
Oh,
or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing's DC. Marvel's attempt is Man Thing, right, or something. Right. But there are a few that are like loose peripheral characters that are owned by different companies who just like pooped it out real quick to get it done. But
like the early Fantastic Fours.
So exactly. Yeah. I kind of, after seeing all the Fantastic Fours, that 1990s one with Roger Corman, it's probably the best.
Yeah, it holds up.
It's probably the best.
Amazingly.
I mean, it's cheesy, but like the new ones are cheesy, but really bad.
On top of it.
Yeah.
And they have Jessica Alba, who...
a scientist, really? Like, it's up there with casting Tara Reid as a scientist and Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, this is a bad choice. But yeah, I did that. I wrote a like little review for all 40 of those, which is huge task.
I read it all, man. I think I'm maybe the only person who did outside of your wife and maybe your mom.
Yes. Well, I don't even know if my mom did, but I'm up there, get a text saying, I fucking read it.
I read it, you ungrateful shit.
Well, yeah, I'll get that.
It's great. Yeah, I love it when your mom comments on the Facebook page. That always makes me happy.
She does. All right, whatever. We'll just talk about it. I have no idea what she was referring to in that one.
I don't either.
It was some comment about, I don't even remember the comment now, but it was just such a non sequitur. It's like, I don't remember saying anything to that effect.
I have that problem a lot when people talk to me about the podcast. They'll bring up things like I'm supposed to instantly remember what we said in an hour-long podcast 3 weeks ago. And it's like, what did I say? What are you referencing? Like, I don't remember this.
We are bottles deep into Andre when we say stuff.
Generally.
We don't usually know what we're saying.
We're letting the Andre do the talking.
I mean, there you go. I mean, honestly, hashtag honesty. I mean,
these boots were made for walking.
Talk out of our fucking ass.
Andre was made for talking. That's a new
thing. Andre was meant for talking.
That's just a what I'll do. I'm going to drink this whole bottle and tell you all the problems I have with you. Oh! Freestyle that. We've established.
That's pretty good.
I'm not bad at freestyling like two bars.
That was really good.
I'm
like half a bar and then my freestyle falls apart. My name is Ryan and then it cuts off and that's it. That's all I got every single time. And some would argue you don't start with my name is whatever.
No,
but
not since like 1991. I don't think people do that. But
I'm stuck in the Fresh Prince era.
You're old school, dog. I respect it. You got street cred. You don't.
No.
So
Marvel, am I right?
I guess let's talk about some Marvel. So I thought we'd break this up into phase one and phase two. And then I guess Civil War is the beginning of phase three of this years-long plan they have for these movies. So phase one started...
2008.
Yeah, but I'm looking for the right word. It started not with a bang, per se. Although I think Iron Man was a pretty big hit.
Yeah, it made a lot of money. And I think it would have been probably remembered. I think still people really enjoy that movie and remember it well. But I think it would have done even better if The Dark Knight hadn't have come out that same summer.
Probably.
The Dark Knight overshadowed it.
Well, and it should. I think
Dark Knight's a better movie. Yeah.
But I think, personally...
I don't hate DC. I like Batman. Dark Knight's a better movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can say that.
Dark Knight is one of the best.
I'd say it's arguably... the best of the comic properties. Yeah. It's really, really solid.
I think it hits everything. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about DC.
No, I just want to point out.
Yeah, I know. Because people think, I am, if I'm anything, I think I would be more the DC fanboy. Although my favorite character is a Marvel character.
Yeah, it is.
And we're going to talk about his movie.
Dumbest character.
We won't talk about it very much. So, Iron Man. I think the first one is my favorite.
I disagree, but
what is
most
yours?
People agree with you.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3, and I'm in the minority.
Three? Yeah. The 3 had the Mandarin, right?
Yeah.
And also the electric dude.
Guy Pierce's Aldrich Killian. They had fire powers, the extremist people.
Okay, so I'm thinking of the dude from The Wrestler. He was in 2.
Mickey Rourke was Whiplash / the Crimson Dynamo in number 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And like 2 and 3, I've only seen both of them once. Not that they were bad, I had no desire to really go back.
I'll
and
be
watch
honest,
them.
I've seen every movie on this list at least 5 times.
Oh,
each.
Wow. Okay, yes. And this is why you're taking lead.
Yeah.
So
I might be a fan.
Yeah, I know
might be
you
a
are.
Little bit of a fan.
And that's why we're
apologist.
Here. He's here, so you don't have to do all this. So, Iron Man, let's start it off.
All right. So, Iron Man was 2008. It was the world's first introduction to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is something that you're going to hear a lot in this podcast, is Marvel nails their casting.
They absolutely do.
Like, you can say whatever you want about the quality of the script or, like, the dialogue or the action or whatever. One thing Marvel has done perfectly is casting, because this was right after Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but that was kind of like very under the radar. Not many people knew about it. Robert Downey Jr. hadn't come back yet. Like, this was still after he went to rehab, went through everything. Like, he wasn't the big actor he used to be. So Marvel took a chance, specifically Jon Favreau, who was the director. You know Jon Favreau from
Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book now, yeah. Elf is probably his most mainstream one, aside from the Iron Man movies.
I would think Swingers. It's pretty
Swingers
well
and Maid. Yeah. He's done a lot of stuff. Yeah. And he's in the movies as Happy Hogan, the sidekick. But Robert Downey Jr. was the perfect Tony Stark.
I think so. Perfect. Like, even when all these movies started getting bigger, they kind of went back and started retconning characters a little bit. Mm-hmm. Stark was the one I think they've really kind of done the least to. Stark and Thor. And the fact that, like, Stark looks like Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. even before they brought Robert Downey Jr. on. He always had the slicked hair, the sideburns, the yeah. goatee, all of that. Yeah.
All the facial hair was perfect for him. And it's the attitude, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, it's Tony Stark is the genius, billionaire, philanthropist, playboy, like, as Captain America says.
He does a much
Avengers,
better job of that than Christian Bale does as Bruce Wayne. Although,
oh, yeah, Christian Bale is the worst Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's pretty bad at it.
Yeah, he's horrible. Him and Val Kilmer both do, like, piss poor. Val Kilmer is a better Batman.
Okay,
than
that's
Bruce
why.
Wayne.
Yeah, I forgot. We're just talking about Bruce Wayne's. Then, yeah, I
just
agree.
Bruce
with you.
Wayne. Just Bruce Wayne. Like, George Clooney. Perfect Bruce Wayne. And I think to that effect, Tony Stark is perfectly captured by Robert Downey Jr.
What I like too is in the first one, there's all that. And, I'm just going to jump right to the ending. I love when, like, they're having that big press conference and Tony Stark's just like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I am Iron Man. It's
yes.
me.
Yeah.
That's so good. And just, it's like, for such a genre so enveloped in the secret identity thing that, mm-hmm. And that'll come back into play in Civil War and we'll mm-hmm. get there. But I thought that was probably my favorite moment from that movie. And
it's a great moment. And I think it sets the precedence for another thing Marvel does, which is subvert expectations, because comic book movies at this point are very formulaic, very tried and true. And there's always something different that Marvel tries to do. And whether it works or not can be discussed later. But in this one, it is like that. Before this one, we really just had like the Spider-Man movies, the Batman movies, and Superman, which is hide your identity, don't let anybody know. It's like a big deal if anybody finds out. This one just kind of had the balls to be like, yep, here it is. Like, we're not doing what we typically do in these superhero movies. We're doing something different. And he announced his identity to the public. It's pretty great. And then that sets up for interesting stories later.
What I love about it, too, is that even though he does that, like, very few people still call him just Tony Stark. To a lot of the world, he's still Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that it's weird, but it's weird in, like, a good way. Like, mm-hmm. I think it works so well. And it's just, it feels natural is what I guess I'm putting out there.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that. It's, yeah. It seems like, and this is like the great kind of acting, is when it comes across effortlessly in movies. Yeah. And his Tony Stark seems effortless. Like, he's not trying at all, but he perfectly encapsulates that character.
I would agree. Yeah. It's one of those all-time great, perfect castings. The other one, I think, is, Wolverine. I'm going to be sad when Hugh Jackman is not Wolverine anymore, because I think he is almost literally made for that role. Very similar, I think, for what McAvoy's made it his own, but Patrick Stewart there was like, who else would be Professor X? Mm-hmm. Like,
I agree with that.
So,
and Ian McKellen as Magneto, too, was a fantastic Magneto.
I think he's more well, like, as Gandalf. Like, that's.
Oh, yeah.
That's like.
That's the more iconic one.
Exactly. Well, I'm just like, yes, of course Ian McKellen is Gandalf. Who else would be Gandalf? But I guess Sean Connery was supposed to be.
Oh, God.
What a mistake that would have been. Could you imagine?
No.
It would have been terrible.
Sean Connery just needs to disappear. I'm not going to say die, because everybody seems to be dying nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
But as close as you can go to getting out of the limelight before dying, do that. Do that, please.
I think he pretty much has since League. He pretty much...
That was a mess. That was a huge mess.
That's one I think we'll get into at some point later on. Not on this podcast, but...
Side note, my dad loves that movie. Unironically.
I was just talking about this with one of my band members who also unironically thinks it's a fantastic movie. So...
Yeah.
I hated it when I saw it. It's something I would like to reevaluate, though. Maybe...
I didn't hate it, but it... has its problems. It has its problems.
Only movies I ever almost walked out on. Like, I was that close. But
that's fair.
So Iron Man, who's the villain in Iron Man,
was
the first one?
Jeff Bridges as Warmonger.
That's right.
And specifically his name was Obadiah Stane.
Yeah.
And he was Tony Stark's mentor who betrayed him with the 10, and he betrayed the 10 rings, who is a reference to the Mandarin, who has 10 magical rings. So essentially Mandarin's running all of that. But he betrays everybody, tries to steal the Iron Man tech, his heart piece, and then tries to just kind of cut Tony Stark out of it, kill him, and make money off of it. Yeah. Profit.
Capitalism, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know, there's not much to say about his character. Like, I thought it was just a great performance. It's fun. It's really good.
Jeff it does Bridges what it needs to. Yeah, of course.
Perfect for it, but...
And he actually looks really jacked in that role. I don't know if the there's a suit.
Head.
Is that
That's what
all
it
of
does?
Is?
That's, you want to appear jacked or like, just shave your head.
But he also has a beard, and it does, I mean...
Yeah, that's true. But that's true.
I just remember him being very thick. I don't know if there's like suit going on there, like under padding, but...
Maybe.
Like, Jeff Bridges is not this massive, but... No. He's very intimidating in that movie.
Oh, agreed.
Another thing that you mentioned, the Ten Rings. One thing I like that Marvel seems to grasp more than DC especially is the long game.
The long con, yeah.
They are setting things up years in advance. Mm-hmm. Little things that don't have a payoff until like 8 movies later. And I respect that too, because that's a devotion to the craft and the genre itself. Like.
Oh, I agree.
Because I mean, even in comic books, you know, you read a lot more of them than I do, but there are things that will show up and then become a major player like 20 issues later. Things that, you know, that happens all the time. So
agreed. I think before we continue any further, I think it's worth stating that Marvel Studios, that sounds very prestigious, like they have a lot of money, whatever. Like they broke away from the major studios and put all of their money, all of their effort into Iron Man.
They bet it all on Red.
At the time, like kind of a C-list character. Like before 2008, nobody gave a shit about Iron Man. Nobody knew who that was. He was like Ant-Man is like 5 years ago. Like nobody knew about him or cared about him. It's this huge gamble. They put Jon Favreau in charge, who really didn't do much action-wise before this. So that was a gamble. Well, that's another thing Marvel does well is take chance on directors.
Yeah.
But they put all their money in this. They could have gone bankrupt, but it speaks to their passion and just kind of their...
It was a ballsy move.
Yeah, it is. Especially when, and this is something else Marvel does. I mean, that's like the phrase of the show. But
that's fine.
What they did was they put Dakota at the very end of the movie after the credits with Sam Jackson cast as Nick Fury, who is not in the movie at all. And he speaks about getting the Avengers together, a move that would not pay off until 4 years later, 6 movies later.
Yeah, it's a giant setup. Again,
for a movie that could have bombed and then nothing would have been done. They would have bankrupted and closed the studio, but they took a huge gamble and it works. And I think they're still taking gambles to this day.
Which is great. That's why I do like that they don't seem to really be playing it safe. Although, to an extent, they are now because, like, the whole thing is such a massive, massive, like, force at this point. But they still are willing, I think, because... At least because they're not really a big studio. I mean, Disney is involved, but Disney seems very content to let Marvel be Marvel.
And yeah.
I know a lot of people were worried, like, Disney's going to start mucking it up and get their fingers in there, but...
It's the same worry with Star Wars when Disney acquired Star Wars.
Yeah. But again, yeah, they seem to understand these guys know what to do. We don't need to involve ourselves. Mm-hmm. So
especially now, there is apparently some exec, Bob Iger, who is causing a lot of trouble behind the scenes. What is led to believe the reason why Jon Favreau, why Joss Whedon, and why Edgar Wright left was this one executive causing trouble within Disney's structure, I believe. And they just got rid of him right after Age of Ultron came out. So now we are getting like, I don't want to say freedom, but you're not going to see people like leaving projects. We will have the Russo brothers for more movies. And Jon Favreau is even coming back to help out now too, because of that one guy.
Awesome.
So it's only going to get better from here, I think. And it's going to get more, I think more chances will be taken. Like that's why we will get a Black Panther movie and why we're getting a Doctor Strange movie, which are fucking D-list characters, like even lower. So
a lot of people seem to like Doctor Strange. I don't know if it's just like this thing that's come out. You know, I going back to it, I was totally not in Iron Man's corner before the first Iron Man came out, but I quickly became a convert. Mm-hmm. So good. God bless him. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
So what do we got next? What is next in the docket?
So then that same summer, at the very end of summer, came your favorite hero, his chance for redemption, the Incredible Hulk.
It did not happen.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't like this movie.
Ooh, interesting.
I like some parts of it. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the Abomination as a character.
That's funny because you like Doomsday and they're essentially the same.
I know, I know. And I can't tell you why I like what I like, but I do know. I thought like.
Is it just the look of him or.
Maybe in this movie and like, I don't know, it just seems silly, for lack of a better. Like.
Yeah. Well, the Hulk.
I mean, it's hard to give something for the Hulk to fight against. I get that.
You need that, or you need something, a better story or something. I don't know, but I agree with you. I don't think they pulled off the CG well.
No.
At all in The Incredible Hulk.
Like, especially with, like, I think Hulk looks okay, but...
he looked fine at the time, but yeah. Going back, he has, like, an emo bowl cut. He looks nothing like Edward Norton. He just looks kind of
That is
off.
The big complaint, too.
He looks off.
Like... The Hulk now looks like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, which just, I think is great.
Yeah, like, they really went to like certain like stretches. They didn't just make a big green dude and say, oh, this is Mark Ruffalo, which is...
Yeah.
They did do that for The Incredible Hulk, I feel.
They did, yeah.
But yeah, the Abomination just looks awful now.
I agree.
Back. That is also a bummer because I like... who is the Abomination?
It's, Tim Roth.
Yeah, Tim Roth is fucking great. And I like him before he turns into the Abomination.
As Emil Blonsky.
Yeah, as this... cocky soldier that just wants to fight him because he can. I do love that scene where the Hulk punches him and sends him like flying into that tree. Yeah. That's a great scene on the college campus.
I think it's a pretty impressive fight too.
Yeah. And it's just funny. I mean, it's a great comedic little cut.
This is another thing, too, is like Emil Blonsky's fighting the Hulk because he got some derivation of the super soldier serum, which, again, won't pay off until four movies later when we introduce Captain America and the super soldier serum.
But he didn't
serum.
Get what as much as a concentrated dose? As...
It's them trying to reverse engineer the super soldger off of the stuff they learned
about.
He's
pretty badass, but not
Yeah,
Captain
they didn't
America
perfect
level.
The no. formula. Okay. Yeah, Erskine died with the perfect formula.
So how does he become the Abomination? I forget this. Do they do more testing on him or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. After his first taste of it, he wants more and more and more. And apparently, like, the Super Soldier Serum is one of those things where it brings out your innermost qualities. So if you are good, you're Captain America. You are righteous and strong. But if you're bad, you turn into like the Red Skull or Abomination. It brings out your worst qualities.
It brings out the id almost.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I didn't really know that about the Super Soldier Serum. You're teaching me. I like it.
Now you know.
So, I mean, I got really... I think of all the movies, this is the cousin. Like, it, I don't feel
this
the one really...
Stepchild,
yeah, it doesn't
sure.
belong in here.
Yeah. Though, William Hurt, who is General Thunderbolt Ross, will be coming back for Civil War. So
awesome.
They are tying it into that, even though we have a completely different Hulk now, and we just... They pretend like the Edward Norton thing didn't happen.
Although I like Sam Neill as General Thunderbolt Ross in Ang Lee's Hulk.
Not Sam Neill.
Who is it?
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Neill.
Sam Neill is from
Dr.
Jurassic
Grant.
Park. Yeah. Fuck that up. Thanks, Champagne. No, I really liked him. I don't want to say it's great, but I enjoy the Ang Lee Hulk for what he was trying to do.
Okay.
And I like it because it's a different interpretation. I mean, well,
I
don't want to get bogged down on it because it really has nothing to do with this, but I'll just leave it at that. So
I'll leave my opinion out of it, disagree.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't like it, but yeah, again, I'm not saying it's great.
Yeah.
I enjoy it for what it does.
And some people will.
Ang Lee came at it with a cynical
attitude, and I think that shows.
That
in the
and he was trying to make it very comic booky, and it throws it off at certain points.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he didn't understand
what was
made
the good
it a
parts
comic
of a
book.
Comic
yeah,
book.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so we get these cheesy panels with
exactly.
The
yeah, I mean, but
it's fine.
I think it was just a lost in translation
that's,
thing.
That's what I would
anything.
Say about Incredible Hulk. It's like, it's not good. It's not bad. It's fine. I would say it's probably the weakest Marvel film.
I absolutely would agree. Of this batch of the MCU.
I would say so far of what we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would not disagree with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we have...
Iron Man 2.
Okay.
Which is a film I loved when I saw it and ends with like the tease for Thor, which again, like the end credits are so good. But after watching it again and again...
Going back one more time, did Incredible Hulk have an after credits?
It did not.
That's okay.
No.
That's another thing.
Well, it's weird. Edward Norton and the director, which is Louis Leterrier, they clashed the entire time.
Lot.
And I think what happened was we ended up with a movie that had like 50 minutes of footage cut out. Like I think the final Incredible Hulk was an hour and 40 minutes. And I'll tell you, not a single Marvel movie is under 2 hours except for that one.
Yep.
And it feels like it's been edited down. But like there would have been like... the Hulk in the Antarctic trying to kill himself. And then we see Captain America's shield in the ice. And then there was also the Tony Stark scene at the very end, which they just put at the movie. So I'm sure one of those would have been the codas. But Tony Stark shows up to tell General Thunderbolt Ross about the Avengers Initiative at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like
the credit, but it wasn't at the end. Yeah. So Iron Man 2.
Yes. Iron Man 2. This is the Mickey Rourke one we talked about earlier. Yeah. And the introduction of Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. Mm-hmm. One of those was a great addition. One of those was okay. Fine.
Fair enough, yeah.
And this is where we're starting to... And this is another trend you'll see in these movies, is not many of the villains are very good or interesting. Like, they're serviceable, but kind of forgettable. Not for me, who... kind of has like this knowledge of the comic history, and so like I'm just joyed to see like, oh shit, they did Whiplash in movie form, like that's kind of cool. But his character and motivation is kind of just forgettable and bland.
2.5 of these I will disagree with, but we'll get to them when we get to them.
I'm curious as to hear what they are, because I know one for sure,
which is
Loki. Yes, like everybody loves Loki.
Yeah,
so Loki, I'm curious great. About what the other ones
and are. I'll go ahead and spoil it. I thought Ultron was great.
Ooh.
Because of James Spader.
Okay.
The performance is fantastic. As a character, mm-hmm. like his motivation's a little wishy.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
James Spader fucking kills it as Ultron. I think he's the best mm-hmm. part of that movie.
It's again the great casting.
Yeah.
Great casting.
And the 0.5, he's really cheesy and really hammy, but I like the villain from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ronan.
Yeah.
Ronan the Accuser.
Like I just like that performance as well. Like
Lee Pace did a great job.
Oh, it's fucking great, dude. So mm-hmm. anyways, okay. So that's what I wanted to say. So
sure.
Iron Man 2. What is relevant to the overall arc in this movie? Is there anything?
Okay, so Iron Man has, at the end of the first one, announced himself as Iron Man. The public mm-hmm. knows about it, so now we have the Stark Expo come back, which is something his father started in the 60s or 50s. Howard Stark, and Howard Stark will come into play later too. Again, long con. Howard Stark even showed up in Ant-Man most recently. Like yep. he sticks around. Like that's another thing too. Is I think the people who join the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're gonna be getting paid.
Yeah, and they
for
stay.
A long time, yeah. which is nice. But so he has the Stark Expo up. As he is having his meteoric rise to fame and power, a separate entity, Ivan Vanko, I think, Mickey Rourke's character, his father helped Howard Stark work on the arc reactor technology. So he feels he's been betrayed, that Tony Stark's stealing his legacy. So he goes on this vendetta to essentially make God bleed, to prove that he is not the man he says he is, he's fallible, and that it's not good what Tony Stark's doing. He works with Sam Rockwell, who is I fucking love Sam Rockwell.
And everything. Yeah.
Yeah. This would, if you're saying your half would be Ronan, mine half would be Sam Rockwell.
Okay.
Just to see him dance around on the stage and be Sam Rockwell. Like, it's not Justin Hammer, his character. He's just being Sam Rockwell. And it's fine. I like that. But his character, Justin Hammer, is a fellow businessman like Tony Stark, a rival businessman who is kind of jealous of all the notoriety and attention he's getting. So he joins up with Ivan Vanko to stop the Tony Stark Expo, to kill Tony Stark is what Ivan Vanko is after, but Justin Hammer kind of just wants the spotlight. He's sad of being second fiddle constantly to Tony Stark. In the middle, this is such a messy film. This is like an Avengers movie because so much happens in this movie to set up future movies.
And I think that's why a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah. It's
very much a two, a sequel, middling.
It feels like a middle chapter. Yep. And so we also have stuff with Agent Coulson, who is now going off to investigate Thor's hammer falling from the sky because we need to set that up. We have Black Widow come in because we need to set up the Avengers. She's infiltrating as Tony Stark's assistant. Tony Stark, we're essentially doing the storyline of Demon in the Bottle from the comics, which is Tony Stark's a raging alcoholic, and it starts to impair him and affect his output as Iron Man. So we need people to come in and tell him, like, hey, soul your role, check what you're doing. Instead of that, we get the lithium or whatever is in his arc reactor is poisoning him to death. So he has to drink like herbal wheat shakes or something. It's stupid. It feels like they weren't quite confident in the alcoholism thing.
Because I think it's more of a Disney
thing.
I think that's one of those.
This is before Disney, but it is that like we want to be mm-hmm. open to all audiences. Yeah. And I think this is one of those safe things you were talking about. They're still a little safe with it. So they have to wrap that up. And then there's also Rhodey, who we didn't mention before, was currently played by Terrence Howard in the first one, was replaced by Don Cheadle.
Which I think is much better.
Oh, agreed completely.
I don't like Terrence Howard.
I liked him in Hustle and Flow. I've not been impressed.
That's something we will have to talk about, because I think Hustle and Flow is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Then you've not seen enough movies, because there are much worse than Hustle and Flow.
I hated Hustle and Flow. Like, I think I've talked about it before. My good buddy Andy, who does listen to the show, he knows my pain, because it's one of his favorite movies and he made me watch it.
Really?
God, dude.
Well, I'm with you, Andy, because I think Hustle and Flow is a great movie.
Oh, man. We're going to do it, and we're going to have him on. And again, it'll be a two-on-one, but I will fight tooth and nail in that one.
That's fine.
It's bad.
I'll probably be in the middle, because like, I'm not like diehard. Like, Hustle and Flow is brilliant. Like I was with 10 Cloverfield Lane, I'll probably be like the Nathan in that one. I'll be like, cool. Yeah, valid points. Oh, also valid points. That's good.
But I think Don Cheadle's better than Terrence Howard, especially in this casting.
So. Absolutely. And this movie is such a fucking mess.
Yeah, it's...
But it's still enjoyable. Like, it's still fun. And that's the thing, is like, you can have
a... It's got a lot of great action.
It does. It has great action.
Much better than the first Iron Man, I feel.
Yeah, you see War Machine and Iron Man have a set piece where they fight. You have a fantastic Black Widow action piece where she like single-handedly takes out 10 guards while Happy Hogan's fighting one person the entire time. It's a great visual gag. But then you also have like Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, I know. You love Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell. Like, there's a speech. Like, so he's a weapons dealer just like Tony Stark. He's the rival weapons dealer. And he's selling these weapons to the U.S. government and Rhodey once they get the War Machine, the Iron Man armor, which becomes a War Machine. And so he's going through these weapons and he's like, this is a smart missile. It's so smart, it'll make a War and Peace look like it was written in crayons by a child. And it's just like these really funny asides. It's again, it's just Sam Rockwell improvising.
Yeah.
And it's great. But there are these moments that still make it fun.
Yeah.
And make it maybe forgettable entertainment, but entertainment.
I really like the arrival of the Mickey Rourke character at the racetrack.
That's a great scene. I forgot about that set piece.
That's probably my favorite part. That and the War Machine scene.
Yeah, that's something I really appreciate about these Marvel movies too, is you always see something new.
Yeah.
Well, which is like the suitcase.
I was going to say, that was the suitcase suit, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a cool thing. Yeah.
It is. It's cool and it's very comic booky and not mainstream at all. Like, it is kind of a gamble to be like pushing up against like expectations, reality. Like, come on. Like, an Iron Man in a suitcase, but it works and it's fucking cool.
And I like that it looks different. It does. It's not just the Iron Man suit.
Red and silver.
Well, it extends, because it's like almost like a blind, like exactly. I like that. That's one of the other things. They're really, as the movies go on, Iron Man suits change, because Tony Stark is a genius inventor and he's always updating it.
It's so like the OCD thing. Like, there's never going to be a time where he is
happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you've got like the Mark III and the Mark V, and there's I just like that. All these different changes that happen, and you can see them visually.
All of the marks by name, sadly.
That's great. That's great. We won't get into that.
Maybe we will when we talk about Iron Man 3, because I love Mark 37.
So I don't think, do we have anything else for Iron Man 2? I mean,
it's messy, but fun. I mean, that's the plot.
But there's not really anything in the overall universe. I mean, there's some minor characters set up, but
it's just reinforcing S.H.I.E.L.D., Black Widow, and then it ends with Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, falling to Earth, because Thor was the next movie to come out. That's really it. It is a middle chapter movie.
So moving on, we will go into Thor.
Thor. This is one of those ones, much like Captain America too, where it's like, I thought this was a risk. Like, who the fuck would want to see a Thor movie?
I agree, and they almost dropped the ball, I feel, with this one. I don't think Thor is a great movie.
Have you seen Thor the Dark World?
Yes.
I like Thor better than Thor the Dark World.
Yeah, Thor has not had a great movie.
So far, which sucks because Thor is a great character. So far,
yeah.
Because I think we'll get that with Taika Waititi.
But, like, coming... to have so many pretty big hits, I feel it was almost a great ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Thor, and it's sort of a drop. Like, there's just nothing in the movie feels right. I mean, it's a fish out of water story dealing with Thor, which is just awkward.
Yeah.
I think all like the beginning fight is cool where they're fighting the frost giants. But like when the giant robot shows up in the town, I think is one of the worst things.
The destroyer.
Yeah, that is just awful.
Ooh. Okay.
You disagree?
I disagree with almost everything you're saying
now. Really, really? Yeah. So what, you don't like the beginning with the Frost Giants?
I think it's fine. I think it's good.
I think that's the best action sequence. That's me.
Sure.
I like...
That is you.
Yeah, I know. I do like that this sets up Idris Elba. This is the first time we've seen him as... Yeah. What is the character's name?
Oh, God damn it.
He controls the road between the worlds.
The Rainbow Bridge.
And he's just fucking intimidating and badass as hell in this. It starts with an H, right?
Heimdall.
Heimdall. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Heimdall.
I gave you part. You gave me the rest. Yeah.
Yeah. The teamwork thing. That's
Heimdall. I know there was an H. But Heimdall. Yeah. I think Idris Elba is fucking amazing as Heimdall.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're not giving enough credit too, because we also have Anthony Hopkins
as Odin.
As fucking Odin. Like, yeah.
And that's great too.
What a huge get is that? And like even Rene Russo, like as Queen Freya, like that's still like, why the fuck is she doing a Thor movie? We get Natalie Portman as a love interest. Like there's a lot of talent. Like I know what you're going to say, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
But that's a big get. Whether she performs or not, she doesn't.
What does she do? Like Natalie Portman is awful in this movie. Even worse is her fucking assistant,
Kat Dennings.
God damn it. What are you doing in this movie, Kat Dennings? Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's too much comic relief.
Yeah, way too much. That's why we got Natalie Portman. Yeah. Let her do it. She's going to do it.
That said, I will say I do like Natalie Portman's character in the movie. Jane Foster, it's a smart reversal. You have her being like the dumb one who is like head over heels with this god character, man character. Because usually it'd be the opposite way around. You just have like some schlubby Joe being like head over heels with like this unattainable girl in a movie. And it's not that. It's not that.
What I don't... It's just weird. Like...
Yeah.
The way that they use her in the movie. I don't care about any of that, but like... It feels odd again. Like... Because she's a super smart person, but she spends the entire movie fawning over Thor's abs. Which, I mean... I get that there's that part of us, but also like she doesn't really figure anything out. I don't get why she's in the movie.
Have you talked to any woman who has seen this movie?
Oh, I know.
Because that Mandy seems loved to be this movie. The case.
Fucking Mandy loved
like,
this movie.
Like, because I think I brought the same thing. I was like, was there chemistry there? Like, what was that? And Laura's like, no. Like, if it was him, and that was, I'd do the same thing. Like, that seems to be the consensus. Is well, if it was him,
Thor 1 and 2 are Mandy's favorite in this. Because of that reason.
Oh my God, that's Laura's too. Laura loves Thor the Dark World. And I'm like, it's good. It's fine. But
we don't get it. But that's fine.
Yeah. But that's kind of cool. It's like, if Thor's not your thing, you have other things in this universe.
So, the nice thing that Thor has, though, is this is the first appearance, if I'm not mistaken,
of
an Affinity Stone.
Hawkeye. Correct? Oh, yes.
Yeah, of Hawkeye, of course.
I knew you were going to say that. I just wanted to throw that out there to be a dick.
I mean, Hawkeye is also showing up for the first time, and he's corrupted for most of the movie, which is also a cool thing. Is that not this one? No, that's Avengers.
That's Avengers.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he's not even referred to as Hawkeye in this. Like, Agent Coulson says, Barton, get up on the ropes.
That's right.
Is aiming at Thor, and is like, do I take the shot? He's like, no, I want to see what happens. And then Thor's not able to lift Mjolnir.
Because he's not worthy.
He screams in the rain very triumphantly.
We're not worthy. That's my Wayne's World reference.
It's good.
So, but this is the first appearance of an Infinity Stone, although we don't know it yet. It's referred to here as the Tesseract.
It is the Tesseract, you're right. Tesseract's not in this. It's very briefly shown like in Odin's throne room, as is the Infinity Gauntlet, but it is not the crux of the movie. The staff is still not this one either.
So this is why you're here.
Yeah.
Take over. I'm going to shut up.
No. I mean, you have it right for the most part. You get hints. You see the Infinity Gauntlet and you see the Tesseract in Odin's chamber. Actually, no, I don't think you do see the Tesseract in the chamber. There is no Infinity Stone in this movie at all.
No, there is. There is.
Mm-mm.
The Tesseract Loki's is in staff, here.
He gets that in between this movie and Avengers from Thanos.
But I'm almost positive the Tesseract is in this movie.
It's in Captain America. That's his first appearance, and then it disappears into the ocean, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. grabs it. At no point would it be in Asgard.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I guess I was wrong. Yeah. Sorry. And that's again. So there is no Infinity Stone.
No.
Again, this is why you're here. Don't apologize. It's fine. I'm the dumb audience in this situation, and that's cool.
I think you are not the dumb audience, just the audience. I am a completely different type of audience for this movie.
I enjoy them, but we enjoy them on different levels for different things.
Yeah, mine's like Loki has fucking ridiculous horns on his head. Oh, fat.
Yeah,
fat.
Yeah,
that's those, so close to the comics.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Like, I do like the Loki character.
I do too. And this is kind of shaped up as like a Shakespearean battle between the brothers and family. And like that's why I kind of dig it, because it is something very different than like most comic movies. Like, and it has the balls to be like, there's this place in the sky called Asgard, just like the Vikings, and we're going to spend 50 minutes there at the beginning of the movie before we even go to Earth and ground Thor and whatever. And I'm like, that's a ballsy move. I like that. And even like the final confrontation is in Asgard and everything. It's just,
By the end of this movie, Loki turns, though, does he not?
He betrays Odin to...
And puts him in the Odin coma?
Yes,
that is this movie?
The Odin sleep. Yes, he goes into the Odin sleep. And again, like, they have this jargon in the movie, the Odin sleep. It's crazy that they put this obscure comic reference stuff in there. But yes, he goes into the Odin sleep. He betrays Thor and gets him sent to Earth, banished to Earth by Odin, by tricking him with Lofi in the Frost Giants at the beginning battle.
That's right.
Thor comes back. Loki plans it so that Lofi, he lets the Frost Giants in to kill Odin while he is sleeping. And then turns on them at the last minute so he can appear to be the hero.
Yeah.
And so he can be the rightful king of Asgard. Like, do you see how worthy I am of it? But then Thor comes back. They have a fight. And then Loki falls into nothingness, into the universe. So we don't know where he went. But I think at the very end of this movie, there's a little teaser filmed by Joss Whedon that is Eric Selvig, played by... Fucking, what is that guy? Skarsgård.
Yeah. Alexander Skarsgård.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Who is also in Natalie Portman's team.
Yes. He's on the Earth team. Yes. But they show Loki manipulating him as the Tesseract is shown for the first
time.
That's what it is.
I knew it was in here,
but it came to me in the middle of that talking.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
So that's how it ends.
So it is still the first appearance.
Thor is stuck in Asgard. The Rainbow Bridge has been destroyed. There's no way to get to Earth. Loki is on Earth manipulating people, getting closer to an Infinity Stone.
And that's at this point, is he working with Thanos?
He is not yet.
Okay.
He's not yet.
He's working to his own volition.
Right now. Yeah. And I would say even with Thanos, he's still working towards his own issues.
Okay. Okay. So that's going to be the end of Thor.
Yes.
I mean... We have the Tesseract, we have the first Infinity Stone, although we don't know it. So
correct.
Moving on from that, we have your favorite movie. My favorite character.
My favorite superhero, I'll say. Captain America, the First Avenger.
And this movie is fucking awesome.
I'm glad you like it.
I love this movie.
I do too. Not many people do, because it's very weird.
Yeah, well, but it's also perfect. I mean, it sets up Captain America. It's all in World War II era.
God,
it's so good, man.
Yeah. It's the balls of the studio to make a World War II movie with a superhero in it. And like, there's only 2 minutes at the end where he's in modern time. But otherwise, this is entirely an era movie. And I kind of dig it.
It's fucking great. It's a great World War II movie. And it has all these... It reminds me a lot of Hellboy in the fact that it's World War II, but there's all this weird shit happening that totally works in with like the whole Nazi thing. So
it does. I'm so mad at myself. I can't remember the director's name. It's Joe something, who also directed The Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who it is, but yeah.
But you can see that. Yeah. You can see the Rocketeer DNA in this movie. It's very kitschy. It's very campy.
And very appreciative of 50s.
It is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of wanted to have this talk and be like, what are some of your favorite moments and least favorite moments in the universe, which we'll probably get to. This has one of my favorite moments, which is Captain America jumping on the grenade. I fucking cry.
And that's...
Every single time I see it.
And Tommy Lee Jones.
Ridiculous.
Is his drill... Is that a drill sergeant?
Yeah. Or... Yeah, I think so.
What a great get again. I mean, he doesn't show up anymore. He's not as over-encompassing as an Odin character, but still, Tommy Lee Jones, perfect.
Agreed.
Fucking perfect.
Wholeheartedly agree.
And I also really enjoy Hugo Weaving as Red Skull.
He does a good job.
He fucking, he's great, and he does exactly what he needs to do, so.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we see the Tesseract and kind of learn what it does. It is...
Because that's what Red Skull is chasing.
It is. He is chasing the Tesseract and he's using it to make weapons.
Yeah.
And since it is based off of the Space Stone, it makes people disappear into other dimensions. It's the portal. And that's all I have to say about that. I said, like there's more to say. I have nothing else to say about that.
So this is this is Steve Rogers as Captain America. It goes through again. It's once he gets the super soldier serum, it's a bit of a fish out of water story because they don't let him do a lot. He's more of a propaganda piece. I like that aspect.
Yeah.
And then he finally gets his time to shine, baby. And by God, shine he does. Another nice thing about this is that I like that the Captain America suit changes through time.
Yeah.
Like
this one. Every movie, it's a different one.
Well, and it's very based in like World War II stuff in this one. He's got
very
a lot
bright,
of...
very colorful.
Well, not...
But with the black brown straps, it feels
utilitarian. That's more what I'm getting at. Like when he... When he puts on the real suit, not the one he's wearing, like the propaganda piece, it's still very, it's not high tech or future tech. It's like a hard leather suit base. And he's got a lot of Rob Liefeld style pouches a lot of places, which is not bad.
Yeah. That is what Rob Liefeld does. Yeah, that and ridiculous pouches. Musculature.
Yeah. But pouches. But it makes sense in this World War II thing.
Agreed.
And yeah, and it's got the first appearance of his shield. Obviously, which is it's vibranium.
It is vibranium in this universe,
which is the second strongest metal next to adamantium
in the Marvel universe.
Okay, so Wolverine could theoretically cut the shield, correct? Is that what?
Oh, yeah, I believe so.
Okay, but I say theoretically because vibranium, its big thing is that it vibrates, right? So, like, if he attempted to, would it more just
it could
ricochet
like
off of the claws?
Push it back, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if he was shot with like an adamantium bullet or something, it might go through the shield.
Okay.
I don't know.
But like Wolverine just coming in to stab would maybe bounce off.
I feel like it's been in the comics, but I can't remember reading.
That's
Wolverine
way I've always
Captain
interpreted
America.
It.
Because who would want to attack Captain America?
A lot of people.
Well, we'll find that
Hitler
out soon.
Hitler for one.
Yeah. Well, Hitler lost.
So basically, the big points: Captain America. I really like this movie.
Yes.
It sets up a lot, and it also is he's frozen at the end of this one.
It ends with him downing one of the Red Skull's nuclear bombers that's headed towards New York. He sacrifices himself, falls into the Antarctic nothingness, and freezes presumably to death. But then the movie cuts to black, and then he wakes up in present time with Nick Fury saying, "I've got a mission for you."
And it's like, what, 60 years, 70 years?
60, 70 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to lead us up to the last one in phase one.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the original
Avengers. Which, again, just, I love this movie.
I do too. I think it is maybe, I think it might be my favorite comic book movie.
I will say it's my favorite of the Marvel movies.
Absolutely.
It was my number one on the list.
Yeah, easily. It's the best of these. There's a couple that are really close as second.
I agree. Oh, yeah.
But I think the original Avengers is nearly a perfect comic book movie.
I think so. There are some issues with pacing.
Yep.
How
and that's going
to
happen.
How it plays to the mainstream audience, I don't know about. But for
I think
me,
a lot of people
perfect.
Really like it.
Yeah.
I think it, I mean, it was like the biggest movie ever.
Until Jurassic World and Star Wars, which one of those
deserves. I do not think Jurassic World is better than the Avengers.
Yeah, I think even people who liked it wouldn't be like, I don't know if that's the case. But they hired Joss Whedon, which was a smart move. Joss Whedon, who has done nothing successful. Like, he's worked on Buffy. He's worked on Firefly. He's worked on Dollhouse. He's worked on a lot of things.
You
that
say nothing
are,
successful. I will say he's very cult successful.
Yes, he
people
he makes
that like Joss Whedon
for the niche audience
love Joss Whedon.
Yes, but he is not a mainstream success
yet.
ever until the Avengers movies. Yeah,
blew him the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was massive, man. I don't know if people really like that fucking movie was huge. Mm-hmm. Like, and it deserved to be after. When did the Avengers come out? It was
2009.
It was way later. I think it was almost 2011. Yeah.
2011.
Or 12, maybe.
Well, it would have been 8, 9.
No. Probably 11.
8, 9. 10,
I mean, 11. We could easily
it was 2011.
Confirm it, but yeah, we'll just say 2011.
It's 2011. It was the only Marvel movie 2011.
But it was just great. Like,
agreed.
This was the full forming of the team. Every action piece in this movie is amazing.
Some would argue the helicarrier stuff in the middle where they're trying to save the helicarrier as it's sinking after the attack by Clint Barton. I hear a lot of people say that's not engaging.
I like
that's where the movie loses it.
No, I like that part a lot because 2012? Okay.
Shit dick. Okay.
We just got confirmation from sound engineer Andrew. It was 2012 when this came out. I thought it was almost that.
Okay.
But
I mean, I'll believe it. I'll believe it.
Well, yeah, you got it.
Fine. I mean, I believe you. It's fine. I believe it. But just
so I don't know. I really like that part because there's a lot of comedic stuff in there because Iron Man is trying to fight like a bunch of things while also tell Captain America, who has never encountered technology of this level, how to fix something over a radio. Mm-hmm. And I just like all the confusedness of the Steve Rogers character, like, okay, wait, what? Which one? What am I pulling here? That's just a really yes. great scene. I don't think it
you
suffers
get that.
At all.
You get Thor and Hulk fighting down God, below damn, was yeah. fantastic, and then even before that, like the
and that's maybe
the
one
Hulk
of,
versus Romanov scene.
That's maybe one of my favorite things in the movie is when Hulk is attempting to lift Thor's hammer. That's such a fucking awesome scene, and totally shows like one the power of the Hulk mm-hmm. and two the power of Mjolnir. Or however you say
Mjolnir.
It. Mjolnir. But yeah, like, and he's like trying to lift it, and you see the ground next to it, like resisting and giving way. God yeah. damn, that's an awesome scene, man.
It's, oh God, this is, all right, so this is why I love Marvel movies, and I can look past any of their flaws, is because they're really good at doing the what if fanboy service stuff. Yeah. And that's one of them. The other is, what would happen if Captain America tried to resist Mjolnir, which we get in like the forest fight.
Which is another great fight, man, where the three, right? Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America have this big three-way mm-hmm. battle. And
yeah.
It's fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. I remember like watching that movie and thinking like, God damn, that was awesome. How can it get better? And it does.
It does. I agree.
This movie just constantly escalates and achieves everything it sets out mm-hmm. to do more than what you expect. Yeah. So.
I think we need to speak specifically to Joss Whedon's characters because he really understands each and every single one of these characters
yep.
and gives them all their moment to shine. And
he
even
gives them all the respect.
It does. Yep. And there's just like subtle lines that like more so than any of like the action scenes, which I love the action scenes. Like I love the character dialogue in the Avengers. Like. Yeah. When Iron Man like confronts Loki and calls him like Shakespeare in the Park or reindeer games, yeah. like it's clever.
It's all that snark that mm-hmm. Tony Stark has.
Yeah, and it has my favorite Captain America line, which is Natasha's talking about like, you don't know what you're dealing with. We're dealing with gods and monsters. And he goes, there's only one god, ma'am, and he doesn't dress like that. And then he jumps out of the plane to go fight.
That's not my favorite Captain America one, but my favorite Captain America is also in this movie, I believe. But
Which one is it?
I got that reference.
Yeah.
I love that. And this is also the movie, he has the notebook of things in the future that he
that's
needs
Winter
to
Soldier.
Learn.
That's
is that Winter,
Winter
Soldier?
Soldier?
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
And that's a great thing,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, but that's a great piece. But yeah, that's the best one where I forget what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because that's become a meme on the internet now.
It's the Wizard of Oz. They talk about flying
monkeys.
He's like, I get that
reference.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
oh, Thor man. Doesn't.
Yeah. That's fucking awesome, dude. It's so good. Mm-hmm. But this also has, to my opinion, this is the best representation of the Hulk.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's and, where you're going.
Okay. Yeah, that's what that's where I'm going to go because I love the Hulk. Yeah. That's what I want to, that's what I'm going to speak to. But goddamn. This, like, you know, there's been like four Hulk movies before this. Whether I'm counting the Lou Ferrigno yeah. shit from the early 70s. This one gets it. It understands. And I more, again, credit to Joss Whedon.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, he gets what is awesome about the Hulk mm-hmm. and the things that the Hulk can do. So there's all those great scenes like when, you know, Mark Ruffalo turns around and he goes, well, that's my secret. I'm always angry. And then there's that slow motion shot of him turning into the Hulk and punching that fucking snake thing in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Is so perfect.
Yeah.
And that's great. I love that. And I think everybody loves the scene with Loki.
Yeah.
And that whole scene
that's
is great.
What you
even
hear
before Hulk shows
is
up is when Loki's talking to Tony Stark and they're having this sort of back and forth and Tony's pouring a drink mm-hmm. and he's also buying time for the suit, is he not? What something's going on with his suit.
He's waiting for his suit to get ready
that's
to repair after fixing the helicopter.
Because Jarvis is talking to mm-hmm. him, but it's not fully there.
It's the prototype one with the bands on the wrist that yeah. lock in.
Yeah.
But yeah, Loki's essentially saying like, you know, I'm not afraid of you. I have an army. And that's where he goes, we have a Hulk.
And my God,
it's just a really smart line dialogue. But it leads to the showdown eventually between the Hulk and Loki.
Which is not a showdown at all.
No.
And it's
awesome.
And it's so good.
Yeah.
And
which is, do you want to...
Yeah, well, he's giving this great speech about, you know, the Hulk shows up and he's very scared, but he's like stopping him. He's like, I am a god. And then...
You mindless beast. And then he just disappears out of frame.
Yeah, and we find out that the Hulk has grabbed him by the legs and is flinging him back and forth like a doll. And then... I don't like this line, but a lot of people do. But Hulk walks away, and it's one of his only speaking lines, and he just says, "Puny God." But it cuts to my favorite scene where Loki's on the ground, and just the wind is knocked out of him, and he's going, I love that, man. Yeah. That sort of just weak-like protest. Mm-hmm. He can't do anything. And he's just literally got the absolute fuck beat out of him. And that, but man, mm-hmm. that's so great, that scene where the Hulk is just flinging him. Because that's what the Hulk would do.
Agreed.
Especially, like, I don't know if he could do it to Thor. And that's another thing. I love that Thor sort of holds his own against mm-hmm. the Hulk to a degree. Like,
well, they have, like, that little comedic moment where after taking down one of these giant Chitauri worms, they're on the back, like, Hulk and Thor took down this big thing together. And they're just having, like, a moment to themselves. And then Hulk, for no reason, just punches Thor.
Yeah, and dude.
It's when I was working in the video store. Yeah. When I was working in the video store, the only two things I would hear about when it came to the Avengers were Puny God and Hulk punching Thor.
Yeah.
Resonated with fucking everyone, everybody. Apparently. Yeah.
It's universal. Yeah. People love that.
Mm-hmm.
It is my favorite in this whole genre. Or this whole... collection of movies. I think it does it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to... Unfortunately, they couldn't capture lightning in a bottle twice. I don't think Avengers 2 is terrible.
I think they might be able to capture it again, but...
Yeah, I think they will, but they couldn't for 2. But anyways, we'll get there. But the Avengers also... Does it show off any new stones, or is it just the Tesseract again?
It's the Tesseract, and then you also get Loki's scepter, which was given to him by Thanos. That scepter, we don't know it yet, but that will come into play. And then that will be... I got notes. Sorry, guys. I'm looking at it. It's going to be the Mind Stone.
Okay. Age of Ultron, of course, because it controls Hawkeye's mind.
Yeah.
It turns him into a drone, and he does whatever bidding Loki wants.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Alexander Skarsgård.
So
that'll be the end of Avengers, and that's the end of Phase 1. So that will end our Phase 1 aspect with the Avengers, and I hope that you will stick around and join us for Phase 2, where we break down the next group of movies and really get into the meat of Civil War. As always, thank you guys, and we'll see you then.